Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth the truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, or richly multiplied unto thee, from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Congregation, let us begin the worship service with singing of Psalter 359, the first three verses. Unless the Lord the house shall build, the weary builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city shield, the guards, a useless watch, maintain. It is the first three verses of 359.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, thereof the 11th chapter, the first 13 verses. But first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Shall not kill, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor, shall not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned Luke chapter 11, the first 13 verses. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
May
When we seek the countenance of the Lord in prayer, we will commend unto the Lord Mara Korofar, who was able to come home from the hospital, Mr. Dan Van Horn, who was also home after having eye surgery this past week. Let us now try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Almighty and all-knowing Lord, whose eyes run to and fro throughout the entire world, who knoweth and seeth all things, may it be a wonder, Lord, that we are yet in the land of the living, and that we were given to wake up in this morning to prepare and go to thy house to be under thy precious word this day, where once again thou wert pleased to keep and spare in the week that lies behind, whereas so many others had to exchange time for eternity, young and old, as thou been pleased to leave us in the acceptable time, time of grace in which thou comest unto us, to seriously and well-meaningly call us, that we might seek the Lord while he be found, and might call upon his name while he is yet near in his word, and while thou art yet speaking unto us in the realm of nature, but also in thy word. And Lord, who are we then, that we are yet here? But there is no difference, seeing we also have sinned in thoughts, in words, in deeds. And if thou shouldest mark transgression, O Lord, who then can stand? For evil and oppression are found at every hand. But wilt thou now be pleased to open our eyes for that, who we are before a holy and good-doing God, and whom thou art, that are still so long suffering, although thou art cannot have communion with sin, thou art yet adding sinners in thy communion. And that only because of that perfect work of Christ, thy only begotten Son, who has obtained that salvation and that perfect righteousness in full obedience, never transgressing thy commandments, and yet bearing the transgressions of thy church. Lord, wilt thou then look upon us in mercy in this morning hour, when thy word may come unto us audibly and visibly? And wilt thou then not take reasons out of us to hear us and to visit us? For, oh Lord, then thou must pass us by. But wilt thou take reasons out of thyself? Oh, we are in the time of grace, between cradle and grave, between the moment of birth and the moment of death, and that can be so suddenly there. We ask, O Lord, that thou then wilt visit us with thy Spirit, to accompany the outward calling inwardly by thy Spirit, that the hearts may be broken and that hearts may be softened, that hearts may be inclined to seek thee, to make a haste for our life's sake, and to have no rest until we find it outside of self in thee. Lord, be with our children. They are young, but not too young to be converted. Oh, will thou work mightily in their heart? Will thou be with our dear young people in growing up? So many choices have to be made. Lord, will thou above all give them that choice of Ruth, to belong to thy people and to have thee, O Lord, for our portion. Remember adults and elderly. Lord, we are not too old and not too busy. We can be so occupied in many things, but will thou break right through that, Lord, and open the closed hearts for the fear of thy name. But thou also remember thy children. Thou knowest where they are encamped. From the smallest in grace, who do not even dare to think that they have grace, do not even dare to count themselves among thy people, but who at times may be found in the inner room, for those perfect gifts that are from above, that thou givest those who have not deserved it, but who cannot miss it anymore either. Lord, remember then thy church. May they receive instruction by word and spirit to be led in the mysteries of salvation and in him who is the Savior. Will thou remember, Lord, the sick and the needy, man whom thou hast brought home again from the hospital after surgery, but thou hast made it well, and we ask, give not only a natural eye to see, give a spiritual eye to see. Whom thou art, who we are, and who Christ is, an only Savior and Mediator, a little child who had come home. O Lord, thou hast made it so well with that child and the parents. Thou knowest most perfectly what all lies behind. And Lord, now they may have taken that child, that joy and gladness home, a wonder that we so often take for granted, but that they realize. But Lord, will thou then also give them that joy and gladness in their heart, and they may humbly acknowledge thee and take the raising of that child seriously, together with these parents here in thy house, whom thou hast brought to have that child, that children baptized. We ask of thee, Lord, give them and each of us who are called to raise children, that we can never do it in own strength, but that thy strength be made perfect in our weakness. O Lord, wilt thou then give, and these parents may answer the questions, that there may be that sigh in their heart who is sufficient to these things. May our sufficiency be of thee. Remember then each and every one of us, all things are known to thee. Help thy servant, give what he stands in need of. Give Aaron's and hers to sigh, and thy servant a mouth to speak. Fill his heart, Lord, that it may overwhelm, and that his mouth may freely give out of those wonders that thou hast in store for an undeserving people, and yet in whom thou art well pleased. Lord, grant then all what is needed. Bind the three-headed enemy outside thy house, that everything be done decently and in order, but also that it may be experienced that it is Israel's God who helps and strengthens. O then our eyes are unto thee, that thou beest merciful unto us, we ask, in the pardoning of our sins, in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen. We will now read the form for the administration of holy baptism. Form for the administration of holy baptism. Principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he does make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son, the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. And thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without the knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since their baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name in prayer. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing the cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and that the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. May I ask the parents to stand up. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are father and mother, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father Den Dekker, Mother Den Dekker, Father Hoeflaken, Mother Hoeflaken? And the mothers may sit down. Beloved parents, we sang it at the beginning of this service that children are an inheritance that come from above. We don't take children. We don't plan families. We receive them out of the hands of the Lord. And that is a huge privilege. And it pleases the Lord to bless married life and is pleased to entrust children unto them. There also lies not only a privilege, because that way the Lord wants to continue the outward church, so that out of the outward church he may also add to the spiritual church that be saved. And I hope, parents, that as soon as you found out that you were expecting, you knew that a soul was to be received, or souls to be received, that there was not one day or you had to ask the Lord also for that unborn life. Soul for eternity, conceived. And if the Lord would give, and he has given that to be born, we heard it. And your children are in need of that same one thing needful that you and we all are in need of. So a responsibility comes with that privilege as well. Parents are in duty bound to instruct their children when they come to the years of discretion. And don't then say, oh, that then will last a while. To the years of discretion, that actually means to instruct them according to the measure of discretion, to instruct them according to the order of the age in which they may grow and have understanding. And yeah, although our young children do not understand these things, they're right. But mothers, when before you will feed your child, your children, if you first pray with your child, they soon know that that belongs to receiving food. And when you lay your child in bed and pray with your child, they soon know that that belongs to being laid in bed, to the years of discretion. So a privilege and a responsibility. We don't lay that over to the church and to the school later, no. The foundation needs to be laid in the first 4 or 5 years before the children go to school. And the character is formed. And the initial foundation and the pillars be laid for how they will develop in the further age. And parents, that you must say with me, who is now sufficient to these things? And then I hope that you may ask in dependency time and again, O Lord, may our sufficiency be of thee. And that you may lay the baptism of your child, your children, before the Lord. Lord, they have been baptized. And we read it in the form that in that baptism the Lord signs and seals his covenant. No, not in the way that your children are now dear covenant children, and that your children have now already that grace, and that they are baptized because they are already in the covenant and because the Lord saves them regardless. No, that he signs and seals his covenant, who he, the triune God, wants to be for those that have left the Lord in order never to return, and that in the right way And now, by God's mercy, we may all live on the heritage of that covenant. We may all hear about how the Lord seals his covenant. And to us and our children, testifying that there is a way of salvation, not in man, not in us, but outside of us. And that he now wants to testify who he wants to be in the way of regeneration and true conversion. And parents, when that now may be bound on the heart, and you will not have enough when you know, and now my children, they are and they have stayed in the church and they are decent members of the church. Sure, that is a privilege. That is not a matter of course either. But then you will have no rest until you may know that we and our children may know something of that heart-renewing grace that the Lord gives by his word and by his spirit. And you may receive work at the throne of grace. O God, be merciful to me, to my spouse, to my child, to my children. No rest. And no peace. And that you may instruct your children also that way with love. According to God's word. And we don't need to come with our opinion. You don't need to say, yeah, I think it's this way or that way. Then you may tell your children. And now we will sit down and we will open the word of God together. And that we may read it. And then we will ask the Lord if he will teach you that. Beloved parents, children are an heritage of the Lord. Privilege, responsibility, and a testimony that what we receive outwardly, he is also able and willing to give inwardly. Be then found day by day before his countenance for yourself and for your children, that it may please the Lord to show his saving mercy unto each of you. May the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. You may sit down. We will now sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Jehovah's truth will stand forever, his covenant bonds he will not sever. The word of grace which he commands to 1,000 generations stands, and what follows. And after baptism of 3 children, we sing without further announcement, standing the 3rd of 436, his gracious blessings rest on all from Zion, doth his favor show. Now the 5th of 425, and after baptism of 3 children, standing the 3rd of 436. Thank you. Delaney, Joy, and Decker, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dawson, Dirk, and Decker, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Serena, Janae, Hooflaken, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close this baptism with thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they there may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. While your collection be received and the Lord bless thee and thy gift, we will sing together Psalter 187, all the stanzas. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy, turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer, thy servant blessed. They are all four stanzas of Psalter 187.
Thank you.
With the help of the Lord and awaiting His blessing, we want to draw your attention this morning for a moment to what you can find in God's holy word, in our text out of Luke 11, and there are verse 13. Luke 11, the 13th verse. And there we read God's word as follows. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And I will write under this text, good gifts from above. Good gifts from above. In the first place, for natural life. And in the second place, for spiritual life. Good gifts from above. For natural life. Because we read, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. And they are also gifts that come from above in God's common grace. Because being evil, that says we've not deserved anything. And secondly, for spiritual life, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So you see in the text not only the gifts for in common grace, but also the gifts that He gives in His particular grace. Our text, beloved, is written in the context of prayer. Now, children, do you know what prayer is? Your father and your mother taught you that, right? When you go to bed, when you rise up in the morning, before you eat, and after the meal. And children, that we fold our hands and we close our eyes. And that we sit respectfully. Because we bow, we come before a holy and righteous God. To pray. Now, outwardly, we teach that our children. But what is now true prayer? Now, the disciples, they came unto the Lord Jesus, and here in Luke 11, we have actually a summary of part of the Sermon on the Mount that you also can find in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But that also receives a place in that first public sermon the Lord Jesus speaks after He was baptized by John the Baptist. And after He was led in the wilderness to be tempted. And then He sees the multitude there. And He's moved with them. He has compassion on them. And as the chief prophet and teacher, He is then climbing on a mountain on a hill. And He sits down. And then He teaches not only the Beatitudes, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek. Now, all the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. And not only about being concerned, taking thought for the morrow, to seek first the kingdom of God. And how is that impossible? Well, to that end, the Lord has given unto us the means. And to those means belong His word, the Bible, in which we may hear His voice. So when we read the Bible or when we come to God's house, then it is not just a minister or just an elder that speaks. No, it is the Lord who is pleased to speak through them. And he has given us the means to ask the means of prayer. And even the disciples, who were men with grace, they could not say, I know how to pray. They came to the Lord, teach us to pray. They said, Lord, we do not know how to pray in a way that it is pleasing unto thee. What was that? That was self-knowledge. That was uncovering grace. Teach us to pray. And then Jesus is teaching them the contents of prayer, the main contents of prayer, what it must be about in prayer. In that perfect prayer that he taught his disciples, that our Father which art in heaven, that speaks about his honor and glory, and then what is necessary for us for time and for eternity. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation. So he teaches us to ask that his glory may be revealed in our life, and that we may receive for time and eternity what cannot be missed. Will it be well with us? And he's also teaching them the way to pray, not like the Pharisees and the scribes, not who wanted to be seen and who wanted to be heard. Let your words be few, not a long prayer to tell the Lord how he has to convert his people. No, just a humble petition that he be pleased to convert us. And that he be pleased to use his word and spirit to that end. And how then to ask? Well, we see that in the immediate context of our text that says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. And knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Ask. That presumes we ask what we do not possess. So the Lord makes his children asking. Then he does that in the way that he first teaches them what they miss. To seek, that presumes we miss something that we cannot miss, that has become need. So once again, when the Lord teaches his people to seek in his word, then that means he gave them a hunger and a thirst, a missing life, as a guilty one who has lost it by own fault. And to knock, the door of grace, that presumes that we are standing outside. It's not so difficult, children, is it? To understand. For the one who is asking shall receive, who is seeking shall find, and who may knock, it shall be opened unto them. And in that light, the Lord Jesus instructs his disciples and the multitude that is sitting there, and may listen to that word of God. If ye ask, children ask the Father for a bread, a loaf of bread, a bun, we would say, will he then give them a stone that looks the same? And if a child would put his teeth into it, it will break its teeth, its heart. And if he's asking a fish, like an ear long, has the same shape as a serpent, a snake, will then that Father give them a snake? Or if now a son is asking for an egg, does then the father give a scorpion who can roll itself in the same shape as an egg? But when it unfolds and bites, it hurts. Our text is in that way kind of an application on this instruction on how to ask and what to ask. If ye then, being evil. So what does the Lord do? The great prophet and teacher deals honestly with the souls of his hearers that sit there and that are entrusted unto them. If ye then, not being religious, and not if ye then being pious, or if ye then knowing it's so good for someone else, Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, no, if ye then being evil. With those few words, the Lord right away places us in the right place. Being evil. And that's deeper than being sinful. That is deeper than being wrong. If ye then being evil, the Lord first brings us back where it all started in paradise. If ye then being evil. That's quite uncovering, beloved, isn't it? How have we then become evil? Because honestly, that is not the way the Lord has created us. No, he has created us good and after his image in paradise. He has formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. And he blew the breath in his nostrils, and thus man became a living soul. Soul created for eternity. And are there among us who are bothered by that? Who may experience that at moments? And they look at the animals that they say, those animals are happier than I am because they don't have a soul. But I am living in the time of grace, between cradle and grave, traveling to that all-decisive eternity. And I also stand outside. I miss what I cannot miss. And maybe you must even say, that does not bother my heart as it ought to. I know it with my mind, but I do not know it with my heart. And that thus may go in the inner room, Lord, teach us to pray. If ye then being evil, how does that come? Because in paradise we became evil in the way that we listened to the evil one, to the devil. And children, the word devil, that is the word evil with a letter before it. The devil means divider. That is exactly his work. Is it that God has said, no, you will be as God, knowing good and evil. And you have it. But the devil did not tell Adam and Eve how they would know good and evil. That they would know good as what they could not do anymore, and evil as what they would be and could only do. If ye then being evil, that finds its immediate fruit of paradise. Evil. What does that mean? That if the Lord should mark iniquity, who can stand? That means if you know the Lord has to do with us according to what we deserve, then we would stand outside forever. That we would not even have the things for the time. Then we would not even have his common grace anymore. Because he had threatened it in paradise, in the day that you eat thereof, ye will surely die. Why is it then, beloved, that we may still be here in the land of the living? Why is that? Because it has now pleased the Lord from the stillness of eternity to save a people to eternal life that would never ask for him. It has now pleased the Lord
to have him a people chosen from eternity whom we will visit in the time. And who we will save on good grounds, based on the finished work of him, of whom it is not applicable if he then being evil. No. He has been going in the world, doing good, and proclaiming his word, testifying the one thing needful. So why is it that in God's common grace, we receive still so many good things for the time?
Why is that? Because there is still a people that must be saved. There lies the hope also for those little ones and the parents and for the flock of Cortland. When it pleases the Lord to send a servant to your midst, that means there lies work in the congregation. And the Lord still wants to have dealings with the congregation. With those you and I, of whom it is applicable, if ye then being evil. That means undeservedly. Or that all those things would then not one day have to testify against us. If ye then being evil know how to give you children good gift. Good gifts, you hear it. Not if you then know to give your children gifts. Not whatever they require. Not whatever they demand. We sometimes see that, right? Parents, they are with the children, let's say in a grocery store, and a little child in the cart is just whining, and mother just gives it away, then it's be quiet. Now, those are not good gifts. We spoil our kids and we ruin our kids. That creates an intolerable behavior and a growing up for the world. So what is now good gifts? Well, that is what is necessary to come through this life. Good gifts. Not whatever they want, not whatever I want to please them, but what is now necessary for this temporal life. And parents do that. Those mothers with those young children, they don't try to give the children some meat yet, right? No. Good gifts according to what they can handle, according to their age, according to what is needed. To give them. And that also is in line with in the way they ask, not demand. And parents, they teach the children how you ask that. Parents who give their children good gifts. When they humbly ask, and when it presumes what they need. If ye then being evil, and that's now common grace, that parents still do that to the children. Or not? Parents, they can say that they love the children. But if they just give the children all they demand, then we question that love. How is it then with the love for the soul of the children? Because that's what it is about, beloved. Why do parents give the children good gifts? Yeah, then they give the children, when they grow up a little, they give them a Bible. And they give them a good book. And they seek all opportunity to speak with the children about the spiritual things.
Well, that is what it is about in the text deep down. That is even deeper what it is about. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And isn't that a wonder? If ye then being evil, how much the more will the Lord give those evil ones? You see that in the history of Israel, all over in the wilderness, murmuring, demanding food and water. If ye then being evil, and yet they received from above for the time. Here it is about the spiritual gifts. What are they? Well, that is, in the first place, his only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he has given, that he gave, that you have the gifts. His only begotten Son, appointed in the stillness of eternity. In that council of peace where the Father said, whom shall I send? How shall now that people that I love to save, how shall they now be saved? In an honest way, because the Lord does not step over sin, beloved. My sin, your sin. The Lord does not see that through the fingers and say, now we don't talk about it anymore. The Lord says that needs to be paid. And how can that now in a right way? Because we heard it this morning, we are conceived and born in sin, children of wrath, who cannot come into the kingdom of heaven unless, except we are born again. Or then the Father in the stillness of eternity has appointed his Son. Given his Son. And Christ did not come reluctantly or because he had to. No, he came willingly. The precious gift from above, Christ. Now came in the fullness of the time. And of whom it was not applicable, and of whom no one could say he is evil. Yeah, they said it, but that was a lie. He testified, who convinces me of sin? No one could. And yet he was made to be sin. If ye then being evil, you hear, not if ye then doing evil, know what the Lord says here. Is the application of Psalm 51. I am evil, born in sin. And thou desirest truth within, and how shall that ever be possible? He obtained all that salvation. He obeyed all the commandments. He never sinned with his tongue. He never acted in sin, and yet he was made to be sin. As a sinner cast out, he has made himself equal to God. Away with him. Crucify him. A couple days ago, they still had said of him, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And that's how it can go in life of man. Hosanna, crucify him. And there on the cross he obtained the full salvation. He is the perfect gift from above. You could say, man, we can give our children good gifts, but the Lord gives his children perfect gifts. And based on his finished work, you know what he gives his people? Oh, not a reason religion. Not a religion in which they can say, "No, yeah, I am evil, but Jesus died for evil sinners, so he died also for me, it's all okay." He that being evil, how much the more your heavenly Father good gifts. What is that gift? That is the gift of his Spirit. We can have everything for the world. We can have wealth. We can have whatever we think. But if we miss that Spirit as a gift from above, we miss the most important thing. And then all what we have and think to have, we will have to leave that one day behind. The gift of his Spirit. And what does that Spirit do as gift from above? He makes room for the perfect gift of Christ. He makes room for that how. In the way that he teaches, ask, seek, knock. It is now the work of God's Spirit. Children, do you know that? Young people, do you know that? What is now the work of God's Spirit? He opens the blind eyes and he pricks the deaf ears and he shows, he teaches all that we have, right? But need to miss. And all that we miss and cannot miss. That's where it starts with. Nowadays you hear people say, "I learned to know my sin at the foot of the cross." I don't know why you find that in your Bible. Not in mine. The Lord makes room for it. Ask the missing. Seek. I cannot miss. As a little child who is missing something and has no rest, as the Lord cancels the rest in the life of his people, there's no peace is found. Restless is the heart in us until it may find rest outside of self in the triune God. He brings them on his knees as a missing people and showing the cause that lies in myself. Breach between God and my soul, because I have done that which is evil in his sight. That need is bound on the heart, that I cannot miss him anymore. Lord, whom art thou? The godly sorrow is born, working repentance not to be repented of. That you find them wrestling at the throne of grace. That is not a people that talk so much, that know so much. That is a people that doesn't know anything anymore. I am of yesterday, I know nothing. That is a people that in the need stands outside. A Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress, standing there before that narrow gate knocking. And that door from inside did not go open to the inside. No, the door had to be opened unto him. You know what that means? That people must learn that it can only come from the other side. That door can only be opened from the Lord's side. That it can only be received out of his hands. And that finding grace in due time is not the fruit of our seeking, but of the Lord making them to seek and making them to find and opening their blind eyes. You find that people, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, and what is that a privilege, eh? In the time in which we live. How much more? You say that is just a very faint shadow of what the Lord wants to give his people. But he wants to give a people that may fear his name, that cannot miss him anymore. Will give his Holy Spirit. Oh, let thy Spirit be my constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed in thy statutes, so to be obeyed. That Spirit that now makes room for Christ. We're teaching them that I miss everything I cannot miss, and pay me what thou owest. Oh, I must come there with empty hands. The Pharisees, they came with full hands. And the scribes too, they had so much knowledge. But there is now a poor and needy people. That needy and sorrowful to thee I cry. They may lift up their hands and eyes as a missing one unto the Lord. How much the more will he give his Spirit to them that ask him? And how do they then ask? Not once or twice. Actually, the original text speaks about asking, seeking, and knocking continually. That's the need. Continually ask him. Not once or twice and they say, no, yeah, I did my best. And then when you come at people and when they get older and you say, and I wish that now, and then you hear it, yeah, no, yeah, we ask for it, but yeah. As if God is to blame. But how do we ask? And Christ says, ye ask and ye receive not, for you ask amiss. Do we then ask as a missing one? Do we ask in the need of our soul? How much the more will he give them that ask him? Oh God, there lies a confessioning. I miss everything by my own fault. I've left thee in order never to return, and I cannot go forward, and I cannot go backward. I do not belong to thy people, I stand outside. I cannot go back into the world either. My misery is so great. Look upon me in thy mercy, and that day by day, having no rest, until it pleases the Lord to open that gospel for the Son of his love, for that perfect gift that he had given, to show them the way of salvation, that it now all lies in him. How much the more he encourages them. He shows that it all lies outside of self. Not in my tears, no, they dry up. Not in my works, no, they are defiled with sin. Not in the fruits of grace, no. They must all fall away. How much the more will my Heavenly Father, give his Spirit unto those, not the one or two, no, those. That means all them who, all those who. That lies there so wide. It is as if the Lord says, and that can be taught and that can be learned by the chiefest of the sinners. Or that we then may learn to lay our finger by it, that the Lord, thou hast said it. And now I cannot even ask, and the disciples experience that too. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach me to ask. And teach me also to ask what I cannot miss. And what a wonder when now the Lord is pleased to open the eyes for Christ. That we may see in him all that that is serving to salvation, his finished work, he who has never done sin, what it did cost him for such a rebel as I am. To them that ask him, I know him. Because then that asking is no dumb. That's a continual matter. That's a matter as long as they live. Because the more we learn this, the more we see that we are so totally dependent on him. Ask him, Lord, if I'm not deceiving myself, thou hast shown me outside of self, but or that I may follow on to know him. That I not only know the power of his resurrection, but also may learn the fellowship of his suffering, dying at all that is no God in Christ, being made conformable to his death. To those that ask him to by Christ be led back to the Father, we read it, how much more shall your heavenly Father. He says that he to the disciples, hey. That does not mean that God is our Father by grace, by nature. Or it must be as the prophet says, am I then a father? Where is my honor? But here it is by grace. It's only possible in Christ that the Lord leads his people back to him whom we have left in paradise, so there it starts with ye then being evil, and there it also ends with being led back in the restored communion. Oh, that wonder, if they now through Christ may see something of that salvation that comes from him and through him and to him. But he who by nature is our judge, and thou must judge righteously. There grants and shows Christ unto the soul who doesn't find that life in himself anymore. And that soul thus may be led up unto him. Oh, that wonder. And they do not become high and great, no, then they become small. They become so little. How much more shall? It's not a maybe. It's not a wait and see. There's a promise that is secure for a missing and a seeking people. Ask. How much more shall he give? Now, his time, not my time. I must lose everything on my side. His way, not my way. If children does ask something to the father or mother, my way or the highway, it won't be good, eh? But how much more shall he give them that ask him? Are there now such seekers, such missing ones, such askers of him? Are there now those in our midst with empty hands, hunger and thirst? Ask a bread, ask a fish, knock because I'm standing outside. Lord, will thou instruct me in thy perfect will? Or do you still miss that? Is your religion only a religion of custom or superstition and of Sunday? Then our text is also an accusation. If ye then being evil and not asking the Lord, make then haste for your life's sake. Today, if you hear his voice, tomorrow can be too late. The blessed people that thus may ask humbly, undeserved, and yet I rather die at his feet as a missing one. Like a Ruth on the field of Boaz. And to go back and serve the world. Blessed Zion. How much more it is as if those words are still faint words of what he has laid away of for those that fear him. How much more, far beyond, it means expectation, far beyond expression, but then to his honor and his glory, because it is all of him and it will all turn to him for his name's sake. Amen. Almighty Lord, how much more, and in natural life, fathers and mothers seek the best for the children. How much the more, Lord, comest thou unto us with thy word. No desire in the death of the wicked, or that we then cannot find it in the things of world and time and sense anymore. But that it need be bound on the heart, and that there may also be a people that may find it in thee. Lord, remember us. We acknowledge thee for thy help. Forgive what was amiss. Bless that which is thine. Bring us safely home, and in this evening again faithfully in thy house. Where a servant of the Lord could not come over, remember him and his congregation in these trying times, and make it all well. For thine own name's sake, for Christ's sake. Amen. 4:16. The seventh. O my soul, why art thou grieving? Why disquieted in me? And what follows in the seventh of 4:16.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.